1 Peter 2:9-10. But you are a chosen family, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. First, we learn again of Peter's exalted view of Scripture, even as God spoke through him. We see this in how, although he was inspired by God, Peter still quoted and taught from Old Testament scriptures as he wrote. Marvelously, this even shows God's high view of Holy Scripture as well. Second, from "but you," the first words in verse 9, were taught of a contrast between the true believers and the unbelievers. The unbelievers, quote, reject Jesus, while the true believers find him, quote, precious, see verse 7. They are, quote, disobedient to the word, verse 8, while we are obedient through faith. They, the unbelievers, are appointed to be offended and lost, in verse 8, while the true believers, by grace, are chosen to be God's own possession, see verse 9. Third, we are taught who we are if we truly believe, with six gracious declarations. These teach how we belong to one another as, the first one is, a chosen family. Chosen being the word for election in Scripture. God elected those who are his before the foundation of the world, see Ephesians 1:4. By this elective choice of God, each chosen one becomes part of a family. As the chosen, it is our duty to serve and glorify God in a way that is pleasing to him. The second gracious declaration is that our position is also a royal priesthood. In other words, like the old covenant priests, we're to serve according to God's will and ways alone. However, we have an even greater role, as instead of animal sacrifices, we are to be the living and holy sacrifices to God. Check out Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Interestingly, the Jewish people took great pride in their identity as a nation set aside by the Lord. Yet it was always the remnant, the ones chosen by God, who were his holy nation. And that's our third gracious declaration. Holy meaning what is both morally pure and what is set aside. Like God chose Abraham and his seed after him, which were to number like the sand of the sea, so we are Abraham's sons by faith, according to Galatians 3:7. We are his seed, and therefore we are the holy nation that was in view. Not by flesh or blood, and not by the will of man, but by the merciful will of God, according to Romans 9:16. Those who have faith in the Savior and Lord are the holy nation, though not a physical nation until the kingdom of our Lord comes physically in the resurrection and the new age of this earth. Then, the next gracious declaration is that true believers belong to God as his, quote, possession. Not possession as in a material possession, but like a wife belonging to her husband. Check out Ephesians 5 for more on that. Or like a son belonging to his father. Check out Romans 8, verse 15. Fourth, we're taught our duty as a response to these declarations. From, quote, "so that." So that shows us all of these gracious changes to who we are have been done for a cause and a purpose. The reason why anyone is chosen is not for their own benefit. Instead, they are to, quote, proclaim the excellencies of him. In other words, they're to exalt and glorify God in every thought, word, and deed because of all that he has done, particularly because he has chosen them, which makes him worthy. And we declare his excellence not in words alone, but in holy living. We declare his excellence by staying out of the darkness and walking in his marvelous light. For more on his marvelous light, check out John 3, verses 19 through 21, and 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Fifth, again, it is declared of the elect, the reason why we are to live holy is because God has taken us who were not a people and made us the people of God. That's the fifth gracious declaration. We, in conclusion, should never separate the awesome wonder of who God is and what he's done from the response of holy living that he expects. To do so goes against the repeated teaching of Scripture and the divine design of the right pattern of the doctrine directing and causing faith and life to glorify God. Because in our sin, we had no mercy, but only guilt and judgment. But now we have received mercy. That's the sixth gracious declaration. Here, Peter teaches from Hosea as he parallels the people of God's choosing with the prostitute and the adulterous nation Hosea married and ministered to. Check out the book of Hosea. Peter does this to show God's unmeasurable love and our need to repent and be loyal to the one who has done so much for us. So, ask yourself, do I value my Bible the way the authors of Scripture do? The way God does? Is reading, knowing, studying, applying, and speaking God's word a top priority for me? Does my life contrast the worldlings around me? Do I both know who I am now because of Christ and live accordingly? Do I live to proclaim God's glory alone in everything? Or am I offended by the truths of Scripture and living in disobedience? If so, repent and obey the truth. Let's pray. Father, give me a greater love for your word, that it would affect my life and cause a renewal in me which is not conformed with this world. That in the renewing of my mind, I would boldly stand in confidence of who you declare that I am through grace, and that I would live a right and holy life for your glory alone. Amen.